Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Let us visit the historical scene of Babel, where countless architects worked under the empirical leadership of Nimrod, the mighty hunter. Their goal was to build something which had never been built before, the first real skyscraper, a tower that would reach to the heavens. But their intentions were anything but heavenly. In every brick there was evidence of godless imagination. Malice was in the mortar, apostasy in the asphalt. They used brick because there was a scarcity of stones in the area. We can examine 1 Peter to see where children of God's kingdom are referred to as lively stones, and then make a proper analogy to the land of Shinar. They had no physical stones present with which to build, and they had no spiritual stones as well. The community was void of God-fearing folk. It was absent men and women who bent their knees in devotion to God. Instead, theirs was brick formed in stubbornness, a humanistic will of man that defied God's word, forsook his ways, and with pride aimed to build a skyscraper to the very heavens. The sun appeared each morning with hot rays to cook their bricks. The desert floor sizzled as snakes slithered for cool shade and lizards darted for unseen caves. Sand swirled where two breezes met, and in the valley of Shinar the architects worked fast and furiously. Layer upon layer they raised the tower. It became an imposing sight on the moonscape land devoid of plants. Yet here man planted his own seed of desire for greatness. Feverishly, workers scurried about making and then laying the brick. They produced their bricks by mixing chopped straw with clay, which they poured into molds. Then they baked the molds in the sun until they obtained the desired bricks with which to build. They were duly organized. They were builders of a dream. It just wasn't God's dream. And in the end, it would be merely a nightmare. But they labored and toiled, sweat and laid more brick, measured with precision, outlined their plans to perfection. They scraped the trowels over the brick and evenly applied bitumen imported from Iran. They inched their tower higher and higher each day, building a staircase to the stars, shrinking heaven's impossible height a few feet every day. They pushed dirt. They plowed distant forests and planed the lumber for scaffolding. When the sun set, they toasted their false gods with wine, gazed at stars they dreamed of walking on, and defied the one true God that would have loved them and led them to even higher heights. When the desert sun rays scorched away the cool layers of night, they stepped into the morning light with bare backs and iron-like chins set. And they labored some more, hauling the heavy man-made bricks, grunting and straining with makeshift pulleys, shifting dangerous weights that sometimes fell and crushed an unsuspecting worker below. But even in death, the intense work continued. They would not be stopped. Architects smiled as the spire of their tower, which represented their greatness, increased against the backdrop of a cloudless sky. Every day they folded and opened their plans, marked their agreeable successes, and charted the unfinished business. They had unity. They had desire. For just because man may decide to do that which is unrighteous and defiant against God's will, makes the ingenious executions of their plans no less credible. For man was made in the image of God, and often with that image, with that imagination, with that detailed ability to conceive and create, to draw and develop, to expand and expound on things never before thought of. Man can be dangerous, yet reflective of the divine. Oh, that all of man would pull his resources for the whole plan of God. They wanted it to reach the heavens. But their hearts went no further than muddy thoughts, soiled seduction, and dusty defilement. They said, "Let us build us a city whose top may reach unto the heaven." And herein is the problem. The top was intended to reach heaven, but the bottom lay in the dust of deception, its foundation built in the sands of satanic seduction. You could say the top is like the head or mind of a thing, and the thoughts of man stretched to tickle the stars, to penetrate untouched atmospheres, to put his finger on the pulse of God in the universe. Yet the heart of man was wicked and defiled, godless and without spiritual discipline. What good is it to make it to the top without truth? Man has always been ambitious to reach the top, to scale the summits of the unknown, suck the nectar of knowledge from mystery's tree, and move on to the next challenge. And that's not all bad. But if God is absent from the equation, then what have you truly reached? A volcano has a top, but it blows when unstable. And so it is when humanity creates a top without truth. Eventually, the top of human intellect will blow. Man's lid on defined success will scatter to the winds. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That is more than a question or logic. It is a probing conviction, searching for an awakened soul. For what good have you done if your success has caused you to lose sight of the most important things? So you reach the top of the business world, yet your joy bottoms out. You attain the summit, break the record, get that shiny trophy. What happens to the finish line of love which you seem to have never crossed? For relationships have been lost and your intimate bond with another has come in last place. You've failed as a father, been disqualified as a friend to someone you stepped over to get a rung higher, and you haven't spoken to your mother in at least a decade. But you have that trophy. You have that name on an elitist plaque. You are esteemed by people from a distant, but close up, there's really no one around. So your stock finds the top of the graph. They sell 100 times worth more than the original purchase price. Your bank account increases from struggling entrepreneur to wealthy mogul overnight. You've moved from low-end housing to high-rise penthouse status, which is another sign of going up, of building a skyscraper of success to the heavens. You get to join that nice golf club behind your subdivision. You put your kids in the private school everyone dreams of. You drive cars that used to turn your head when you were driving a more moderate-priced vehicle. But one question. Why do you feel so bankrupt in your emotions? Why do you feel numbed by all your newfound knowledge? Why does your heart beat in your chest, but the inner man's heart seems still and dead? Oh, the cash flow is great. The dollar signs are lit up on your road to success and fame. Yeah, you got money. But what about the happiness that only comes on the road to heaven? What about peace that is only available in the inventory of God's grace? For you won't find it on the stocked shelves of human goods and deeds. And what about joy that goes beyond what you have and is more about who you are? And you can never really truly be satisfied with who you are until you understand fully why Jesus died on a cross for you. You see, you have to build character before you think of a kingdom. And herein lays the precise reason why the last kingdom of the world will fail. For the last great kingdom of the world, according to the Bible, will be ruled by an unscrupulous, self-serving man. His political hunger will be unmatched, like a ravaging bear coming out of hibernation. Only his ascent will be inspired from hell. This last-day despot of sorts will cater to the people with his tongue, but consign his plans from the dragon, Lucifer. He will have abandoned absolutes in favor of the mob mentality that accedes to whatever lifestyle is deemed tasteful for the moment. He will trade conscience for connection. Whatever gets him in the know, in the crowd, above the audience, and associated with success. He will build an audience with his words and destroy morality with his actions, for he will speak with great blasphemies. Ah, but he will build his kingdom. He will bind his counterparts. He will blind the crowds with pseudo-light, with cheap love, and with soothing lies. He will be a receiver of men's praise and a deceiver of men's purpose. His building blocks will be promises of peace, his door an opportunity to fix a world dilemma that no one before him has been able to resolve, namely, the crisis of the Middle East. As you can observe in Scripture, the Babylonian hope with their great tower was exemplified when they stated, "Let us make us a name." They wanted distinction. They wanted their stepped pyramid to enlighten the world with zodiac symbols and a name which would be literally above every other name. And that was a grand notion, a high-minded goal too impossible to achieve. Yet in the end, when the last Antichrist rises to power, his aim will be no different. But when you read of the mark that his patrons must have in order to buy and sell in his despotic economy, you discover that the mark is all equal to the number of his name. His name. He will want his name to be above every other name. Revelation 13. You see, according to history, the Tower of Babel, which was known as a ziggurat, had mud at the core and baked brick on the outside. The Babylonian soil is still celebrated for these architectural materials. There is fine clay mingled with sand, forming the very best material for brick, while stones are not to be found at a convenient distance. Think about it. What is clay or mud but wet dirt? Basically, mud is a mixture of water and clay. Clay, the substance God used to make man. And the clay formation of man was lifeless without the presence of God there to make it live. The mud man had no capacity on its own to breathe. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis 2 and 7. Man became a living soul. He did not stumble into life by evolutionary means. He did not conjure up his own destiny of existence or randomly appear on the banks of civilization from another source. God was the source of life. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. So mud in itself is not the breath of life. Mud in itself is merely the death of life. For mud in itself is what we were before he gave life and what we shall be after life, after the breath is gone. So the Tower of Babel at its core was soil, not soul. The center of the tower was representative of everything man can be in himself, but can never be without God. Man can be creative on his own, but he cannot continue to live in a non-degradable body without the author and the finisher of faith. Man can climb the highest mountain and stand on its peak in defiance of God, but man cannot build a mountain higher than what God produces. Man cannot go any further once he has discovered all there is to discover. But God, he can create that which has never been seen or touched or experienced in a fashion that just plain mud can't do. Now I want you to see something that's quite intriguing in the Word of God. In the Old Testament, there is an episode of Daniel, a great prophet, describing to the king Nebuchadnezzar what he saw in a dream. "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces." Daniel 2 and 31 through 34. Did you catch it? The final kingdom, according to Daniel, will consist of 10 toes mixed with iron and clay. There's that clay again. And that clay represents, once again, the humanistic tendency of man trying to build a kingdom without Christ, trying to erect a tower of government without truth, trying to reach the heavens without wholeness. For clay and iron did not make a man whole. For in this dream, you never hear Daniel mention blood. And the Lord said plainly that life is in the blood, And as it relates to salvation and hope, it more emphatically relates to the blood of Jesus that brings eternal life. Only the blood of Jesus can make you whole. Only the blood of Jesus can wash away your sins. Iron and clay may show man's strength, but it also shows his weakness to sin and pride. However, the blood of Jesus is a stain remover. It removes the splotches of blame on your soul. It removes the deep ingrained marks of malice and strife. It gets down deep into the heart and degreases the smudgy stains of pride and stubbornness. It gets to the core of who you are and removes every stain of disgrace you don't want there. Blemishes of bitterness, discolorations of discouragement, spots of spite, the stubborn dye of biological disposition, the sullying sarcasm and cynicism, the pollutants of perversion. You see, the Tower of Babel failed. It failed because God expeditiously confused the languages of the earth and their skillful ability to articulately and creatively communicate discontinued. The architect tried to give simple instructions to the chief mason, and the chief mason shrugged his shoulders in bewilderment. The perplexity continued as the mason tried to order his apprentices to prepare the mixture for sunbaking, and they shrugged their shoulders in quiet puzzlement. And so the trickle-down effect of confusion limited the work, and every day frustrated workers stomped off the job, packed their bags, and headed for a new land with new opportunities. Suddenly, the builders of the great skyscraper scattered. The unfinished ziggurat sat eerily uninhabited, cooking in the desert sun. Yet when the sun's heat finished 1,000 days and nights of baking, it still remained untouched and unfinished. No architect or demigod or despotic ruler as Nimrod would be able to savor the sweet taste of success. For in time, it left only a bitter taste for every builder and bricklayer. It left a sour memory in the minds of savvy mathematicians and brainy scientists. The forsaken project, sporting tumbleweeds and giving free lodging to lizards and vipers, was a sign then and is a reminder now that anything with mud at its center will never reach the top. And as time moved on, leaving behind any second thoughts of Babel's grandeur, the sand of the desert formed blankets that seemed to be used for the interment of the tower, the base disappearing in alluvial covers, and then one platform after another sinking into an abyss of non-existence. The simple shell of bricks became profoundly discolored and somewhat charred. The spire continued for some time to point at the stars, but lamely never stretched to reach the measure of a foothill's peak, much less the heavens. The arrogant wish dissolved. The prideful declaration indefinitely paused. The crazed stare of perceptive astrologers blindly ended. The work halted. The cultic priests stopped dancing in its long-cast shadow. The nightly celebrations ceased. The haunted structure moaned in the lonely night, but its moan was not that of living men, but of a dying wind. Insubordination to God's supreme authority was met with desolation, and so this pattern repeats itself in the human condition over and over again. You see, in Nimrod's day, they had drunkenness then. We have it now. Maybe you struggle with it now. They had dishonoring of parents then. We have rebellious acting out now. Maybe you've suffered lately with a profane teen that disrespects all authority. The world of the Babel Tower had a propensity to be independent of God. We have atheistic and humanistic mindsets that don't want Jesus mentioned in any setting whatsoever. Maybe you're of that persuasion, or you've been questioning the very existence of God. You see, the world of the Babel Tower failed first and foremost because it depicted man relying on man, and that still fails today. You need more than self. You need a Savior. You need more than the inventions of man. you need the intervention of a Messiah. You need more than cross-breeding of ideologies, attitudes, religious orientation, and transgender developments. You need the Christ bleeding on a cross for the healing of the nations, for the true removal of racism and bias, for the supernatural curing of any orientation opposed to God's transcendent desire for you to live a joyful and spiritually healthy life. You don't need the mud. You need the blood. The blood of Jesus shed on a cross because he cared. And because he wants to cure your broken heart, he wants to build a tower of hope in your life. For the word of God states, the name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower that the righteous run into and are safe. From Proverbs, you are not safe in self. Selfishness leads to barren fields and fruitless living. Selfishness steals true hope and falsely depends on human action alone. But when you call on the name of the Lord to be your deliverer, then you walk away from the Babel Tower mentality. You step toward the hope tower, the cross, the deliverance zone, the healing place. And finally, I mentioned earlier how the last day Nimrod, the final Antichrist figure to rule a godless empire, will want to have his name above every other name. But that won't be permanent, friend. Someone already has laid claim to that. Acts 4:12 says of the name Jesus, the Savior, the one born into our world to save our world, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Philippians states that he has been given a name which is above every other name. So, my friend, don't settle for a cheap substitute when you can have the original name above every name, the name of Jesus. And that is a tower that will not only reach to the heavens, it will go beyond the heavens that we know now to a new heaven. Now, how can man top that?
Time. This is Natalie Hood, and if you enjoyed today's message and want to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.com. At thejesusmessage.com, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much, much more. Also, Reverend Danny Hood has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God do, in His timing, what you never thought possible. Another encouraging book entitled Hope, an Anchor, will encourage you that no matter how difficult the storms of life become, Jesus offers an anchor of love, power, compassion, and peace. It will secure you in the deepest waters and most traumatic times. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcome tragic, traumatic, and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. Again, in this book, Danny Hood visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible and contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly inspiring books today.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.